Bella pays the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Comment, complaint, suggestion, any feedback. Most of it is appreciated, although it sometimes raises my ire. So to come on the program about an hour from now, we'll hear from Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall making his regular Tuesday appearance. So please stay tuned for that. But joining us now on the line, Alabama's junior U.S. Senator, always a pleasure, and she's always very gracious when she comes on. We're very appreciative. Katie Britt joins us. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Good morning, Jeff. I am doing wonderfully. It is always a privilege to be on with you, be in front of your listeners. I appreciate the opportunity. And once again, no shortage of topics for us to discuss today.
Well, a couple of things before we get into the real serious stuff. How's your August recess?
You know what? It is just wonderful to be home. It is so great to be just in the state, being able to travel around the state, obviously being in full mom mode with the start of school. I think every parent out there knows that starting back to school is obviously a wonderful thing, getting back to a routine, but there's just a lot of moving pieces. So it's just been great to kind of be hands-on and get to be a part of all of that. And then I've gotten to see, just a lot of good Alabamians. So I love being in the state and love being home. So it's been a good August, that's for sure.
How you feeling about football season?
Oh, now that's a question right there. Look, I'm not real sure about this whole, Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC. I'm still kind of keeping them at arm's length, if you know what I mean. They're not the OG. Yes. But we'll see. But we'll see. I think both Alabama and Auburn obviously have some tough games on their schedule, but obviously excited to see the new coach in Alabama and what develops there. Obviously, I'm a fan of Coach Freeze. I've enjoyed getting to know him over the last little bit. Just a great man, and excited for football season to start. The weather is starting to turn a little bit for us. Now, I'm not naive, being a lifelong Alabamian, that's going to last. But, it's been neat to kind of see the weather change and people get excited. And, I have to say, I agree with Coach Saban that Auburn and Coach Freeze are going to do a lot of good things this year. So I think it'll be an exciting season all the way around.
We'll see. I always temper my expectations with the Auburn Tigers, even though we tried to go to most of the games this year at home games. We do have season tickets, but I have no – I still look at Alabama as kind of the big brother right now.
We'll see what this new season unfolds. And, you see teams like Missouri that, were newer additions to the team, kind of sort of starting to gain confidence. You see them talking some smack right now online. And so it'll be interesting after the first couple of games to kind of see all that settle, see where we are. But regardless, I believe in the resiliency of our teams in the great state of Alabama. And so I'm excited about the season long term.
Let these basketball schools like Kentucky and Missouri, they could pretend for 5 minutes that they have football teams. I don't know. I'm not believe it to see it. I don't know. Hey, let's start here. The world of politics for the stick to the issues crowd. I don't know, Senator. The first off, a little bit of pushback for Trump with the wreath laying from some of the left wing media out there, but it hasn't gone away. And the Abbeygate incident, we still don't really have any answers. Your colleague Chris Murphy trying to pin it on Trump, which is absolutely insane. What do you think?
You've got to be kidding me. Well, first off, let's make sure that we set the record straight here. The liberal media is the third arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, there is no doubt. We have seen that in the way that they continue to treat President Trump versus the way they treat Vice President Harris. I mean, you see it in everything from the no tax on tips. You look side by side at the headlines created there after Donald Trump said that. And then when Kamala Harris actually stole the idea and obviously did not appropriate the idea to that being Trump, the liberal media completely covers it differently and is excited and is pushing it forward. We see those side-by-sides consistently. I mean, do you look at this, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, that rests solely on the shoulders of President Biden and Vice President Harris. And those words come from her. If you look back at the interview that she gave afterwards, she said, "I was the last person in the room before President Biden made the decision." She then said that she was completely comfortable with that decision. You look at the aftermath. Our adversaries and allies alike believe that that withdrawal sent shockwaves, not just through that region, but literally across the entire world. To me, it is perfectly indicative of the weakness and appeasement that this administration has shown since day one of entering the White House. And so what a commander-in-chief would have done yesterday, or someone who would like to be commander-in-chief, as in Vice President Harris, was be there with Gold Star families at Arlington Cemetery, be out there speaking of the ultimate sacrifice that was given of by these brave 13 men and women. But yet we see Vice President Harris can't break away from the campaign trail. And then we see Joe Biden actually with his feet in the sand at the beach. I was proud to see President Trump act like the commander-in-chief that we know he is, putting the honor and dignity of our servicemen and women and those who have given the ultimate sacrifice above all else. That's what we need to continue to do. And the liberal media is just upset because their candidate of choice, the candidate in which they coronated, let's be clear, didn't show that same dignity and respect for the fallen. And unfortunately, they're trying to cover for her once again.
How do you feel about the election cycle? I mean, I know that the polls have shifted a little since Harris has assumed the nomination, but there still doesn't seem to be anything there. And people are complaining about her not doing any media. I mean, if this is what she thinks she's got to do to win the presidency, I don't think that's going to work. Maybe I'm crazy here, but I think we're at a time in this country where people want a little more from their president.
Absolutely. I mean, she literally, this is worse than Biden's basement routine. I mean, she is acting like this is a popularity contest and she wants to be our homecoming queen. The truth is she needs to get down with the people and answer tough questions. She needs to explain to us where she actually stands, because you remember when she ran for president, when she finished with less than 3% there in 2020, she was left of left. When she was in the United States Senate, they said her voting record was farther radical than Bernie Sanders. You look at the one thing that she's been given during her vice presidency to figure out, to take the lead on, and that's the border. And she failed there, too. I mean, the truth is, Jeff, when you think about everything that's going on at the border, you think about the fact that President Trump handed the Biden-Harris administration the most secure border in 40 years, that undoing lays at their feet. And the fact that she was supposed to be in charge, and we have more border crossings than ever before, over 10 million people coming here illegally, over 2 million known gotaways. We have fentanyl deaths at an all-time high. We have strains on the system from coast to coast. You know, she's refused to move forward with actually building the border wall, but yet the hypocrisy of seeing that wall in her ads, someone has got to hold her accountable for her failures and for the terrible policies of which she wants to advance. The only thing that we have heard from her is that she wants to give amnesty to millions. So people who actually broke our law, she wants to reward them with the very thing that they want most. And I continue to see her put Americans last. And unfortunately, as I watch her, I feel like I am watching an arsonist who is leaving the house that they just set on fire, putting on a firefighter suit and trying to pretend to go back in to put out the flames. I think it is sickening, and I think Americans deserve better, and Americans are smarter than this, and ultimately they will see through the fraud that is Kamala Harris right now.
I mean, like we were told everything was fine, and Joe Biden goes on the debate stage with Donald Trump, and no, everything's not fine. And I think the same thing would have to apply here. Like, how many times are the American people going to be fooled by this? And maybe I give the public too much credit, but I mean, the way you look at it and whatever the policy beliefs are, put that aside, but just the competence and not being seen publicly, not doing media, not doing an interview, we're thinking that a lot of people think that if she just lays low, that she's going to emerge victorious in November. I don't see that.
No, and I think, I mean, look, Jeff, the American people deserve answers. I mean, and if you look at the media, I mean, the same people who told us that Joe Biden was strong and energetic are now telling us that Kamala Harris is moderate. She continues to flip-flop back and forth. We have no idea where she'll land, but what we know is that our country is weaker and more vulnerable every day that she and Joe Biden are in office. And make no mistake, here in the DNC, we heard over and over again, we need change. Kamala Harris gives us hope. I mean, lest they not forget, Kamala Harris is in office right now. So when you're asking for change, you're actually asking for change from her. And if you look back at the last 16 years, Democrats have held the White House 12 of this. Republicans have only been in office 4. So when we look at the disaster at our border, when we look at the fact that the world is on fire, when we look at the fact that your dollar does not go as far and everyday families are hurting, that lays solely at the feet of Kamala Harris. We know she is not capable of fixing any of these things because the policies that she believes in, which, by the way, are even more radical than Joe Biden's, have put us in the position that we are in now. And the one thing that she had a chance to fix, she has made astronomically worse, and that is the disaster at the southern border. And so America is smarter than this. And they are going to remember and going to see that the media is not demanding answers from her. Here you have President Trump and J.D. Vance that are answering every question, walking into every room, doing press conference after press conference, talking about policy, answering nuanced questions. And you have Kamala Harris, who they continue to protect. The media is solely responsible for where we are right now in this election cycle, and the fact that they are not demanding that she answer questions. They should be better than this, but unfortunately they're proving to us once again that they're in the pockets of the Democrat oligarchs that have hand-selected and coronated Kamala Harris as their nominee, and they are hopeful that they can all work together to get her across the finish line before America wakes up and realizes that her policies will make America less safe and less strong across the board.
So joined by Senator Katie Britt here for just a few more minutes. How does down ballot look? What are you hearing, especially concerning the Senate?
I am so excited about where we are in the Senate. Obviously, everybody across the country is watching the presidential election. I believe that we have got to get President Trump and J.D. Vance into the White House to put this nation back on track, to save the American dream for the next generation, to make sure that we actually exhibit peace through strength once again, that we have a secure border, we can feel our economy working for everyday working Americans right now. You know, you've got prices up over 20.2%, and yet wages down 3.9%, and Americans are feeling that hurt. But I am excited also about what we're going to do in the Senate, because in order to effect real change, we not only need to take the White House, we not only need to hold the House, but we must take back the Senate. If you look at where we are on the map, you know, because we've already picked up West Virginia, if we hold all of the states and for all the listeners, we are way ahead in West Virginia. So essentially, if we hold where we are as Republicans, that puts us at 50-50. Obviously, a White House would break that tie. But we want to get to 51, 52, 53, 54. Look at what's happening in Montana, Jeff. Tim Sheehy is showing America what it means to be a true leader. They're taking a look at John Tester. They're looking at the fact that he is actually running away from the party that he has voted with time and time and time again. He didn't even show up at the DNC last week. That's because he knows that Democrat policies are indefensible. Tim Sheehy is bringing a breath of fresh air, a new energy to the ballot. So there in Montana, Tim is leading. I believe that he will be leading on election night and will give us that 51st seat. I also want your listeners to take a look at Ohio with Bernie Marino against incumbent Sherrod Brown. Bernie is right there neck and neck with Sherrod, and I believe ultimately President Trump and J.D. Vance are going to have a huge night in Ohio, and that means that Bernie will too. But we've got races all across America where Republicans are right in the game, leading in some polls, moving in a direction that others thought weren't possible. And that's everything from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin to Michigan to Arizona to New Mexico to Nevada. It's exciting. And what is at stake in these Senate races specifically is that Chuck Schumer has vowed to nuke the filibuster and push through their most radical ideas. And we have to make sure that the next Republican leader in the Senate is actually the majority leader, because if the Democrats are in control and they start to push through these things by breaking the filibuster, the future of America is at stake. And so there is a lot riding on the Senate. I believe that it's the insurance policy for our nation, and I'm excited about where we are in each of these races. This will be fun to watch on election night. I believe it's going to be a big night for Republicans with strong candidates who believe in our nation, believe in our fundamental values, and are ready to get this country back on track.
One more question about the election, Katie. The Caroline Dobson race, and I'm not trying to be patronizing or suck up, but your 2022 election, all 67 counties, and as far as I could tell, everywhere you needed to be whenever at any moment during that election cycle.
Thank you, Jeff.
That, it's still sort of the ideal textbook play there. So tell me something. Looking at the way she's handling it, I think she's got a little bit of your work ethic going for in that second congressional district. Still a lot of territory, not quite the whole state. But looking at her campaign from kind of the outside, do you think she's doing what she needs to do to win that race?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Caroline is brilliant. She is hardworking and she is real. She knows what's in stake for our nation, and she is going to do everything it takes to make sure that Republicans keep CD2. And while it is a new district, we know that ultimately the fate of the United States House could land right there, right here in Alabama. And so I see Caroline crisscrossing that entire district. I see her even, working with people across the state. People are energized. They want to come knock doors. And if you are listening to this, please go to Caroline's website and make sure that she, volunteer. Start making phone calls for her. Volunteer to go knock doors. It is DobsonForCongress.com. And this is important. This could be the balance of the House. She is a mother. She loves this nation. She wants to preserve this nation for her kids. She also, believes in our state and, has just, everything from being a cattleman to an attorney to everything in between. Caroline Dobson gets it, and she wants to make this country better. So I do. I believe she's doing it all. Now, we need everyone who is listening to help us do it as well, because Democrats are clearly going to pour energy and effort into this district because they hope to be able to take it. But I believe in Caroline. I believe in the people of Alabama, and I know how important it is. So DobsonForCongress.com. please, if you can give $5, $10, $25, $100, whatever you can spare. She's working diligently, deserves our support. And if you want to volunteer for her to knock doors, let's do this. It's important, not just for our state, but for the nation. Sincerely, it could be the deciding seat.
Katie Britt, ladies and gentlemen. Katie, we're way, way long. As the music's playing here, what should I order next time I go to Taco Casa?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, get two snack burritos. No sauce if you're in the car because it'll get too messy. But, like, do one beef, one chicken so you can see where you land. Then do the beefy queso nachos. And all that's right. Easier to eat in the car, too. So you can do this. And I've got more orders, too. But let's start with that.
Katie Britt, ladies and gentlemen, we got to wrap. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show. Bye.